All right. It's good. Thank you for that. Thank you for being here tonight. It's been a while since we were in our lessons on Proverbs, so we're back to that again. I do want to say a few things here as the ushers are passing out the notes. I do hope that you're all at the ministry workers orientation. We only do that once a year, and so it's for everybody that's a part of that. Or if you're interested in working in a ministry, finding out what that's all about, you're more than welcome to come to that as well. 12 o'clock on Saturday, and I encourage you to come. And then singles, really excited. We have a great group signed up, but there's a few of you, if you're thinking about it, you haven't signed up yet, I encourage you to sign up. We are going to have a great, great time together. And then the one thing, you know, we've been able to expand the building, and whatever we're looking for Sunday school space, we can find somewhere. We'll put them in offices, we'll put them outside, you name it, we'll put them there. But there's one thing that we're never going to be able to expand, and that's our parking. It's just impossible. And so we mention every now and then, we're not trying to bang on you. It's just that I know how people are. Some people may come and we may never know, and they're new and they come and there's no parking and they may just pull away and leave. And so I encourage you on Sunday mornings, especially bus workers, most of you are younger. So when you come, don't park on 33rd and Magnolia. Don't park in the parking lot. Just park at the blue line, walk the block, get your steps in. You'll be just fine, okay? Get a Fitbit, it'll all be good. And let's leave those spots for newer people that are coming and for those that can't park off-site. And I think that's that. We are looking at Proverbs. We started a while ago. It's been since, I think, July, since I've tapped into this subject, but we're going to look at it again. We're right in the middle of it. We're talking about the wisdom of avoidance. Things that Proverbs talks about that God tells us that we should avoid. Things that we should not have a part of our life. Things that we need to be careful about. We understand, since it's been a while, that Proverbs is the book of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to take God's truth and to live it on a daily basis. That's what wisdom is. It has nothing to do with your IQ, and that's why all of us can be wise. It's about how do we take God's word and God's principles and we apply them in our everyday life, and so that's what wisdom is. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but Proverbs speaks of three categories of people. Now, it talks about characteristics of people, the lazy man, the critic, and these different things. But when it comes to categories of people, there's three. The wise man, and when it comes to avoidance, he wants to learn God's word, and part of that, so he can avoid that which God tells him to avoid. The fool is one who ignores and defies God's word and embraces that which God tells him to ignore. Then there's the simple, the one who doesn't know or understand God's word, so he doesn't know what to do. And so that's why we want to be wise. We want to learn that. We've been talking about many, many things, but we are in this category of selfish pursuits. Last time, which was really almost 2 months ago, we talked about pursuing righteousness produces life. Pursuing wrong produces death. Now, let me say this. Everybody is pursuing something in life. Everybody goes after something, right? Everybody would tell you, they're pursuing happiness. Now, we would call that the Bible word joy, but you can use happiness. You know, they're pursuing things that they think would bring them happiness or joy in their life. Some people are pursuing pleasure. One fun thing after the other. I remember Pastor used to preach that message years ago. Honeymoon to honeymoon. Everybody's looking for that next honeymoon. Life's not like that. Some people are pursuing their hobbies with all that they have. And this isn't not necessarily bad, but all these things can get out of kilter. Some people are pursuing their career. There's nothing wrong with having a career. There's nothing wrong with working hard at your career. Excuse me. But when your career becomes everything, that means it's taking a priority over some things that it should not. Relationships. Some people, you know, everybody's like, go after your dream. Right? By the way, you know, have you ever heard this phrase? And it's not true. You know, if you just go after it hard enough, you can achieve it. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because sometimes we want to be something that we just don't have the skill to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to pursue God's dream. And when we're pursuing things in life, we ought to pursue things from God's perspective. Now, we could take all these things and we could break them into two spiritual categories. Good. That means the things that we are pursuing, the big things in life that we're pursuing, line up with spiritual values. By the way, if something is of no spiritual value, it's probably not worth pursuing. Some things you pursue are not only not of spiritual value, they actually hurt your spiritual values. That means something we should pursue, if it's good, it should have spiritual worth. It should be a spiritual pursuit, and it ought to be right. Or we pursue things that are bad. Not that they're necessarily sinful, although some things can be, but it has no spiritual value, no spiritual worth, it's not a spiritual pursuit, and it's not spiritual life right, and we waste our lives on it. We're going to look at some of the results that come because of that. What we are looking at when it comes to pursuing, it shows us the reason we should choose. What we're going to look at shows us the reason why people would choose a bad pursuit as opposed to a good pursuit. And that's because, here it is, we are selfish. Selfish. If we're going to pursue that which is spiritual, sometimes we need to rebuke ourselves. Sometimes we need to not follow what we think is right, right? What did Jesus say? If you're going to follow me, we're supposed to take up our cross and what? Deny ourselves. Yeah, we follow him. I'm sorry, I missed that one. But we deny ourselves. Because in our flesh, we want to do the things we want to do. And sometimes those lead to wrong pursuits. They don't lead to spiritual ends. And we need to say, you know what? I don't need to do that. Even though we want to. So that's very important. Very sad thing that happens is what a lot of people are trying to get out of life from a bad pursuit is just not possible. If you follow things that are devoid of spirituality and you think it's going to bring you joy in life, you think it's going to bring you fulfillment in life, you think it's going to bring you purpose in life, I can tell you right now, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. You don't want to do that. You could be successful at something, but if it's not right and it's not spiritual, the payoff will not be what you think it is. Oh, you may have some some measure of joy at the beginning or happiness, but when push comes to shove, when all of it comes, when you get to the end of the book, you might just regret what you did. Here's the ironic thing. That what you are looking for can only be found by following a good spiritual pursuit. That's it. See, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. We're looking for something that may not be wrong, joy, purpose, all these things. But the problem is we're looking for it in the wrong place. And you can see the frustration that it brings. You look at people that espouse wrong philosophies. These in our society now, we have a bunch of these woke, spiritual activists. They're giving their life to the pursuit of something which in many cases is just godless, and it's wrong. But you know what? They are committed, and they have focus, they have purpose, and they'll sacrifice. But have you ever noticed that they are angry, bitter, and contentious? You know why? No matter how committed they are to something, if it's not godly and it's not right, you're not going to have the right spirit. That's something we better be careful about. Same thing can be true really from a spiritual standpoint. Sometimes we are doing the right thing, but we have the wrong motive, and that doesn't work as well. So with all of that, let's look at the verse and we'll continue on where we left off. Proverbs 11, verse 27, I think it's in your notes there, says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief it shall come unto him. Now, we understand that Proverbs is a book of sayings and truths, and a lot of it is taught in contrast. You know, here's one side, that's the good side, and here's this thing, which is the opposite, which is the wrong side. And so we're going to see the contrast here as we continue on and looking at pursuits. This verse boils down to this. If you're looking for something in life, you can usually find it. You say, well, that's good, Pastor, then I'm just going to go after whatever I want. The problem is this. A lot of times you go after the wrong thing, as I've mentioned, and you might get it, but you may not want what you get. That's why we need to have God involved in everything in our life. Why are we, you know, I'll never understand how a Christian can be afraid of that. Just afraid to say, you know what, I just want what God wants, and if God doesn't want it for my life, I don't want it. Quit listening to the world. Do you know the world is nothing more than, when you're listening to the truth and principles of the world, you're listening to nothing more than secular TikTok. I don't have TikTok. I mean, it used to be the clock, right? TikTok, TikTok. I have a clock that does that. But it's little snippets of something, and you just hear a little thing, whether it's good or whatever, but you hear little snippets of things from people that sound good, but you haven't seen if it pans out. You don't know the background of everything, but I do know this. If it's the truth of God's word and I follow it, I will be wise and it will work out. Yeah. I don't need someone pushing me in the wrong direction. So here's the thing. Here's the next point. Seeking good secures favor. Favor. He says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Do you know everything always goes back to God's grace? And that's his favor. By the way, we must understand where everything good comes from. You know, sometimes God promises us something, says, if you do this, like in here, you'll get this. And then we do that, and we get that, and then we take credit for it. Fact of the matter is, because God offers us something and it's good, if we do something, still doesn't mean we deserve it. God's just being gracious. And God wants to give us his favor. That's a phrase that Pastor with the staff, all you would talk about. Let's have God's favor on our life. Let's have God's favor on our church. And favor is God's grace. It's undeserved. And that God would offer us something if we will simply seek it is amazing to me. Yeah. So in response to our seeking that which is good and right, God gives us his favor. What is his favor? The word literally means something that's pleasurable, something that's delightful, something that's being accepted, something that's with goodwill. Who wouldn't want that in your life? By the way, everybody, unless they're going through some type of depression, say, I want that in my life. The problem is, as I mentioned earlier, we go about it in the wrong way. Satan sells us a bill of goods and says, here's how you get that, and we follow that, and it's never going to lead us to that path. Right. When God says, if you follow my path, you get there every single time. Yeah. I want that. I don't know about you. But if we're going to get that, we must be thoroughly convinced that those things are good and right, and we want them. And once we are convinced, then we will go wholeheartedly for them. Our problem is we don't want to go wholeheartedly for anything. Okay? We want to go half-heartedly. We want results. We don't want effort. What does diligently seeketh mean? It means to look for something earnestly and early. In other words, it's a priority. You give it everything you have, and you give it the priority in your life. When we are convinced that we need God's favor in our life and we are committed to getting it, we will go 100% for it. One of the reasons some people don't go wholeheartedly living for God in their life is because if they were just honest, they do not believe that's the best thing in life. Let's just be honest. You don't. You don't believe that if I gave myself to God, that I would be content and I would have everything that I want in this life and everything that I need in this life. And so you don't give it to God and you go about other channels and it does not work. It's very important. And then there's people who are criticized, those who are dedicated to Christianity, always amazing to me, because they say they're fanatical. It's okay to go to church, but don't just be crazy about it. You're here on Thursday night, right? You might have family members who are like, wait a minute, I'm okay with you going to church, but let me get this straight. You go Sunday morning, and then you go back Sunday night, and then you go back Thursday night? I think that's just a little bit too much, right? It's funny how they don't feel that way about other things. It's not a matter of our effort. It's what's our affection? Oh, it amazes me, and I'm not picking if you're late to Sunday school, because I don't know if you're late to Sunday school. But here's a person that struggles, like, hey, you know, we have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 10:30. It's, oh, that's early. Really? That's the same person that goes to work at 7:30 or 8 in the morning. Right? I'll tell you. Like, hey, let's go fishing. And the best time to fish, you know when the best time to fish is? Super early in the morning. You kidding me? They're up. You know, let's go golfing, but let's get an early tea time. I'm in. Right? Oh, here you go, ladies. We'll get you. Hey, and it's different now, but it didn't used to be. Let's go Black Friday shopping. And you'll go get in line at 3 in the morning. I remember one time we went, they had Black Friday shopping, and my kids were all going, come on, Dad, go with us. I'd go. And it started at midnight. So there was three stores over there. They're all in this line to get in the other stores. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But I'm like, there was Bed Bath & Beyond. There was two people. I'm like, I'm getting in. Like, there's only two people. I'm going to experience this. And then I got in line. I thought they must be giving something away. Everybody is. And I walked in the door like, what do you guys have on special? He's like, nothing. I'm like, man, that was a waste of 2 minutes. But see, it's not a matter of if we can do something. It's a matter of, here we go, are we motivated? Is it important to us? Now, he tells us, if we're going to seek diligently, how we get it. He says he procureth favor. I looked up the word procureth, and it had five steps, really, in its definition. And I'm like, that's how you get it. Here's the first one. Desire. Desire. You're never going to go after what God wants you to do. You're never going to go after the good things of God unless you have a desire to do so.
Amen.
And only you can control that desire. Sometimes you'll do things because it's just the right thing to do. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the only reason you do it, then there is something wrong with it. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're not going to go after them if we don't have a desire for those things. What do you really desire? Are you content with just coming to church? Are you just content with the fact that you're saved? Or do you really want God to do something in your life? It won't happen unless you have a desire for it.
Amen.
And if we have a desire, then it'll take us to the next definition, request. Man, if I want something for God and I really want it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask him for it. By the way, what does he tell us about wisdom in the book of James? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So we realize there's something we need, and we have a desire for it, and so what do? We ask God for it. I think prayer's the missing ingredient sometimes in some of these things. God, I really want this, and you want me to have it. Help me to get it. And then we take the next step. We seek it. Seek. You know, sometimes people content themselves with the fact that they had a momentary desire for something. And I'm not harping on you. I think when God speaks to us, we ought to come down to the altar, right? And if it's been a while for you, you know, we'll put some gold coins down here or something. But we desire something, and we come down and we request it, but we have to take that next step. We have to seek after it. You can't just be content with saying, well, it's something I want, and I ask God for it, but God says there's some things we need to do if we're going to be good, we're going to be right. We have to seek after it. And then if that happens and it's something God wants, we find it. we find it. Do you know that anything that God wants you to have, he's not going to hide it from you? But here you are wanting the things that God wants you to have, and you're going about it in the way that God wants you to go about it. Don't you think he's going to help you to get it?
Amen.
And then not only did that, I like the last little definition, the word it had, because these are all in steps. You secure it. Not only do you get it, you can keep it. You want God's favor in your life? You go after it. Desire it. Ask God for it. Seek after it. And then God will give it to you and keep going on so that it's secure in your life.
Amen.
But here's what we do. You can't just want the results, having God's favor, without doing what it takes to attain it. There's a verse I've mentioned before. It's in Proverbs, and it's very applicable. The desire of the slothful killeth him, because his hands refuseth to labor. It means there's a person that desires something that's right, and yet they're frustrated in life because that desire has never taken the next step of going for it, and so it kills them. They're frustrated. Let's not look around at what others have in a spiritual sense and say, you know, I wish I had that kind of marriage, and you probably don't know the whole story. I wish I had, you know, this type of that, or I wish what they had. If they have it, and they truly have it because there's a reason they have it. And you could have it too if you would just go for it.
Yep.
Go for it. I hope you would rather have God's favor than your own way.
Yeah.
But I want to share a few verses so that we understand this. When we're going after good and God's favor, our lifestyle is tied to it.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs 12:2. What's those two words? Good man. Obtaineth favor of the Lord. And again, Proverbs is in opposites, right? But a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Okay, you know, we want God's favor. We've got to be the kind of person that God would bestow his labor upon. I'm glad he didn't say perfect man. We'd all be out of luck, right? He said just a good man. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to do good. But you're trying to incorporate God's righteousness into our life. And he says, you can get the favor of the Lord. A wicked man can't. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. A transgressor has no problem going past that which is wrong, but someone that has good understanding understands, unlike the transgressor, if they go past that bound, there's consequences. Transgressors don't care. You know, no trespassing. Don't go past that line. Transgressors don't care. They'll transgress and go past God's boundary, but a person of good understanding understands you don't go past God's boundary because that's where the bad things are. I want to stay here where the good things are. And then Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And just what that's saying is, someone who's serious, they understand the seriousness of sinful actions. You know, well, you know, hey, I made a mistake. No. You may have, but let's just call it what it is. We sinned, right? Don't be afraid. Well, you know, I just, and then you have those that are the opposite end. They mock that, you know. You'll see it. You go work somewhere, tell them you're a Christian. You try to be a good employee. You're honest. Like, what are you, what's the one? A guy used to call you, Brother Pineda, where you worked. Altar boy. Remember that? What are you, an altar boy? I don't even know what an altar boy is. I guess it's a boy who comes to the altar. I don't know. But it's like they'll make a mock of you. You know, righteousness, be careful with your entertainment and your music, because if it's making a mock of sin, it's probably not right. What's wrong with our music, you know? Our society is wrecked because our music promotes godlessness and mocks anything which is righteous. That's a message for some other time. So here's the key with anything. You ready? You have as much of God's favor as you desire to have. If you go through those steps, you look at somebody else. See, we're always looking at somebody else. Well, how come their life's like that? My life's not. Maybe they desire it and put more effort into it than you do.
There you go.
God's no respecter of persons. He's not. You know, sometimes we sit and maybe we came from families that weren't, you know, we're first generation Christians, right? How many of you are first generation? In other words, your family wasn't saved or they got saved later. You didn't grow up that way, right? That's me. You know, and I could look at others and like, you know, they grew up in Christian homes. They had Christian dads and we hear the guys preach here and I'm 100% for that. And I wish I would have had that, but I didn't. But sometimes we look at that and say, well, where can I fall in the line? Right where they're at. God's not playing favorites. So wherever you are, do you have God's favor? Well, that's because you desire it and you go for it. And so wherever that level is, it's like anything. And I'll mention, you're as good a Christian as you choose to be. It's nobody else's fault. So I'm encouraging you, let's go for that. Think of if that's true, you have as much of God's favor as you desire to have, then this is also true. You ready? You are the only person standing between you and God's blessings. Let's just look in the mirror. Quit blaming others. Quit saying, it's you. It's me. If I don't have what God wants me to have, you know whose fault that is? It's mine. I know enough of the Bible. I know I've got God's saving, redeeming grace. He has changed my life. And so if I don't have what he wants, it's my fault.
Yep.
If we don't see that, we'll never take the steps necessary to correct it.
Come on.
We can't act like we don't have the power to do it because you know what? God has all the power we need.
That's right.
Next, seeking wickedness secures trouble. Proverbs 11:27. Now here's the flip part. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You know, oh yeah. You wanna mess around in this and that and go after that which isn't right, you're gonna get it. It's not gonna work. Those who are looking for trouble will find it.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, you will not want what you get. Yeah, it amazes me. Especially in our society, all these people that get in trouble. You hear about some famous person, they get in trouble for something, and it's always somebody else's fault. They're surprised that they got in trouble, even though they're in the wrong places, with the wrong people, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yep.
Every time you hear, some famous person, you know, they were arrested by police, they got involved in anything. You know what the next thing you're going to hear is? It was 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yep.
Nothing good happens at that time. You're in the wrong place because at 2 or 3 in the morning, you know the place you should be? Bed. You know where you should? Home. You know what you should be doing? Sleeping.
Yep. Amen.
And if you're doing anything other than that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Oh, but Pastor, I'm there, but I'm awake at 2 in the morning. Are you on a device? Okay, let's move on quickly. You're just looking for temptation. Go to bed. Well, Pastor, I have trouble getting up early in the morning. Yeah, you go to bed at 3 in the morning. Of course you're going to have trouble getting up. All right, we'll move on. When this happens, you will live with regret. I don't know about you. I don't want to live with regret.
Yeah.
Right? When you purposely just keep going on in the wrong direction or you don't try to fulfill God's will for your life and it's like, man, what could I have done? I wish that wouldn't have caused that and all these different things. We're like Cain. Look at Genesis 4:13. Look at what Cain said about this. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Isn't that true? And the only thing that's really, really bad about that is he didn't have to.
Yep.
It's just, so how do we overcome selfish pursuits? Here it is. You ready? Pursue spiritual things. Pursue spiritual things. Because if we go after that which is spiritual, it will naturally put a governor on our selfishness. And guess what? You're saying, well, Pastor, am I selfish? Yes. So am I. We are by nature. So how do we throttle that back? We ought to pursue that which is spiritual. How do we do that? We'll end with this. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think in here he tells us how we can get away from selfishness, we can get away from self, and we can start pursuing selfish things. Ready? Let me give you these real quick. You present yourself to God. That's it. He says, I beseech you. That means I'm begging you. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, the Old Testament sacrifices, what they would do is put them on the altar and offer them to God. But before they put them on the altar, they would kill them. Because they were going to offer them as a burnt offering. They weren't going to jump off. But you know, God doesn't want us to have that kind of offering. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to be a living sacrifice. You know what the problem is about a living sacrifice? We can put ourselves on the altar, and when it gets a little hot, we can jump down. We can start down the path, come on, and then we can get back off the wrong path, onto the wrong path. God says, no, I want you to give yourselves to me, present yourselves to God. There is no greater thing that you can do in your life than to say, Lord, I'm your servant. I belong to you. Present yourself. Yep. Then fulfill your responsibility. He goes, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, just like the words that were used of the sacrifices, which is your reasonable service. You know what reasonable means? It means it makes sense. It just adds up. If something is thrown out there and it doesn't make sense, it's unreasonable. You can't think it through and say, wait, that is not even logical. But it's reasonable. It's like an accounting. If you do the math and all the numbers are there and you add it up and that's the answer and it's correct, that's reasonable. It added up and that's what it adds up to. Do you know presenting yourselves to God and serving Him, it's just reasonable service. It just makes sense. So if it makes sense to serve God, if it makes sense to be spiritual, then it doesn't make sense for a Christian to not be spiritual.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So let's give ourselves to God. It is, and fulfill our responsibilities to have some reasonable service. Then, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. When it says be not, God's telling us something we shouldn't do, which means there's a choice to be made. So if we're going to present ourselves to God and we're going to fulfill our responsibilities and give Him what makes sense in our service, it just makes sense we're going to reject that which would keep us from presenting ourselves to God, which would keep us from giving Him reasonable service, and that is the world. I believe this. I believe that after you have made the commitment and the choice to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I think after that, there's another choice you have to make, a choice to give yourself to God and wholly follow Him. It's like the picture is the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea. That's a picture of salvation. God opened it up. They went through. Then they had to make the choice to go into Canaan. Now, they were already out of Egypt. And they were already through the Red Sea, which pictures salvation. Now they had to take the next step and obey God and go into Canaan land. And the first time they failed. And then the second time, you say, well, God parted the Jordan River. When did He part it? After someone stepped in. They had to make that choice. I remember I got saved. It was on an Easter Sunday. I remember when I took the next step and said, I'm going to be serious about my Christianity. It was in the summer of 1980. I said, I'm going to take this seriously, and I am going to not just be saved, I'm going to live for God. I remember that decision. And so some of us, maybe we haven't decided, I'm going to reject the world. I'm not going to be conformed to the world. You can tell how spiritual, how your spiritual pursuit of things is going by matching your life up against the average. And I'm not talking about comparison. Don't get me wrong. Non-Christian. In other words, if your life is no different than the life of somebody who doesn't even know Jesus Christ, maybe you're not desiring spiritual things. Let's think about that. I think I'm cutting too close to your garden. Understand this, Christians are not perfect. We know that, right? But if your lifestyle is closer to that of a non-Christian, and you feel closer to those who are not Christians, and if you are more comfortable with those who are non-Christians, can I just be honest with you this evening? Then you're not pursuing spirituality. See, spirituality will not be palatable to someone who doesn't want to be spiritual. And I understand as a new Christian, it was hard, right? I'm coming in like, I don't quite get everything, but I want to go down that path. And as you grow, you get there. And then he tells us, if we're not going to be conformed to the world, the next step is be transformed by the word. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've went over this before, so I won't say it again, but that starts in the mind. Whatever we fill our mind with, it's going to come out. So is it more spiritual than secular? If I constantly fill my mind with stuff that is not Christian, and in fact is kind of the opposite of Christianity, I'm going to act more like that. But if I put spiritual things in my mind, and I'm growing that way, I can't help but act spiritual. You change your mind, and once your mind is changed, your direction of life will be changed. That's very important. When I made that decision, as I mentioned, to be a dedicated Christian, I followed that back up with, number one, just going to all the church services. I knew that would help me. Number two, I started faithfully reading my Bible. I started reading Christian books. I started hanging around Christian people. I just made these things that helped me that would fill my mind with the right kind of things so that I could grow and I could change and I could become what God wanted me to become. And then lastly here, find and follow God's will, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, wait a minute. He said that you're transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And then he says, if you do that, you'll prove God's will and the things it says about God's will. So wait a minute, if I'm transformed by my mind, by God's word, and it's changing me, I'm following God's will, God's word, then I am following God's will. Here's the point. When you start getting into the Bible, learning what it says, and doing what it says, understand this, every single act of obedience is doing the will of God. Now think about that. So I want to do God's will for my life. Here it is. Anything that you find in the Bible and that you are obedient to, that is God's will and you are doing God's will. Amen. It doesn't have to be hard, right? Now, there's other things in God's will that we are looking at, right? There's the when, where, how, and who of these things. But that all comes as a result of being obedient to God's will. I always say this, if you get up and you're committed each and every day, I just want to live for Christ today, and you do the right thing, and you read his word, and you live that day for Jesus Christ, do you know 5 years from now you'll be exactly where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing? It's a day-by-day thing. God, you know, I want to know what's going to happen in 5 years. I don't know. Neither do you. But I know this. If I get up tomorrow and I follow God, and I get up to the next day and I follow God, 5 years from now I look back and I'm like, hey, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Right. Obeying God's word is obeying God's will. Now, when we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God, we are proving, as he says, some of the things about God's will. You see someone that's dedicated to being transformed and following God, we look at them, it shows us things about God's will. First of all, it's good. It's good. Nobody who has proper motives and is sincerely dedicated to Jesus Christ and his word says, I don't like this. Because it's good. It brings good results. It's also acceptable. The word acceptable means well-pleasing. Again, that goes back to the sacrifices It's the same terminology used in chapter 1 about the sacrifice. God would say when they would do the right proper sacrifices, in the Old Testament it said it was acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Do you know when we do God's word and we follow his will, it's well-pleasing to God. And I hope that's your desire. And then he says it's perfect. Perfect doesn't mean you're perfect. It means complete. It has everything it needs. It's not lacking anything. When you live in God's will, you will have everything that you need. You will have a complete life. Now, if that's the proof of God's will from those who follow God's word, then if we look at it, if those who don't follow God's word are not being transformed in their life, that proves some things about following the will of God as well. That means it's bad. Not following God's will is not good for you. It's bad for you.
Right. Amen.
It's unacceptable. Not to me. It's unacceptable to God. Because if we're not following his word and we're not in his will, then let's go back to verse 1. Then we are not a living sacrifice, which is what God wants. And then it's lacking. It's not complete. Look, if all I had to prove, hey, which way of living is there? Is it following God's will or is it doing my own thing? If I look back over my many years of being in the ministry, or just many years of being a Christian, and I look at those who were dedicated to God and the results they saw in their life, and those who weren't dedicated to God and the results that saw in their life, I could deduct just based on that evidence alone that the will of God is best and not following the word of God is the worst, because it's proved. Okay? And let me just say these last couple things, we're done. If none of the good things of God's will are in your life, and this is just for self-reflection, okay? And all of the bad things are in your life, it's a sign that you are not following God's will. And it could be to varying degrees too, right? But if the good things are a part of your life and you're avoiding the bad things, it means you are following God's will. So the good news and the bad news is this. Whatever you are pursuing in life, you will get. If you pursue that which is right, with God's help, you will achieve it. If you pursue that which is wrong, you'll probably get it, but you won't want it. You'll never find the right thing in the wrong place. Never. I'll say this, I'm done. You know, for years they looked for the wreckage of the Titanic and they could not find it. Someone figured out. You know what the problem was? They were going by the logs and the records of the Titanic, and they were about like 7 miles off course, and they didn't even realize it. And so their records didn't reflect it, and someone realized, I think they were wrong. I think they got off course. And they started looking in the area where they thought they would be if they got off course, and eventually there it was. They were looking in the wrong place. So we as Christians could look for the things that God wants us to have, and we can look in the wrong place, and guess what happens? We'll never find it. So let's get away from these selfish pursuits and let's follow the spiritual pursuits. Let's stand together. If you may, we'll pray together and then we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. We all fight selfishness. We all fight the flesh. Lord, we fight society around us, which tries to push us in many different directions, thinking that we will achieve that which is most important in life if we follow those paths. But Father, I pray that you would just help us to genuinely believe in our hearts that the best life, the best way is the spiritual way, and we will commit ourselves to it and we will follow it. Be with us, Father, until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.